Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join. Hello everyone, we wanted to offer you a brief introduction to our newest product on the propertymanagementmastermind.com site. It's called the Business Development Toolkit. In 2017, RentWorks organically grew by over 360 plus homes. In 2018, we are on pace to grow another 500 homes. All of this has been without any acquisitions by going out to meet the people and earn the business one at a time. This toolkit will provide you all the marketing materials, business development scripts, and follow-up plans in a format you can modify and use. The biggest part of this toolkit is we give you the Lead Simple follow-up plan. Now, using Lead Simple as your contact resource management platform, combined with implementing our follow-up plan, will give you a launching pad to build your business. This was over 2 years in the making, pulling bits and pieces from the best companies in the industry. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied with this product. Check out our site at propertymanagementmastermind.com to learn more about this new business development toolkit. Hey everyone, thanks for joining us. So today's episode, we have Sean Morrissey coming at us from Chicago. I got him on the line, and he's going to be talking about using the property management platform to invest in your own properties. Kind of a concept that's been around for a long, long time. However, he does have a little bit more insight on it because his ratio of homes he owns is very equivalent to what he manages, and he built the two going hand in hand. They were built together, and so oftentimes that's a different take on things. We all want to do that, but sometimes we get caught in the weeds a bit too much, and he offers a couple good perspectives on that and also the Chicagoland market as well. So great interview with Sean. Let's get to it. And welcome everybody to another episode of the Property Management Mastermind. I am your host, Brad Larson. And today's guest, I have Sean Morrissey, and he is out of the Chicagoland Realty Group. And I wanted to get Sean on because he's got some interesting things to discuss about investing, some podcasting, turning your real estate relationship into becoming a licensed realtor, and then also into a property management system as well. So without stealing a lot of his thunder, Sean, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you coming on because I think we're going to have a good conversation. I actually had to cut you off a couple times in the pre-show because we started going on that tangent. I'm like, whoa, hang on. We got all this stuff for the episode to bring up.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want you to do is introduce yourself a little bit. It's talking about who you are, what you do, kind of your background and how you got into real estate and the property management. Kind of give us that whole 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, you betcha. So my name's Sean Morrissey. I have my own real estate brokerage here in the western suburbs of the Chicagoland area called Chicagoland Realty Group Partners. So I got in real estate, it was as early as 2002. I went to dinner one night with my dad, and he broke out this book that was basically talking about how to use investment real estate as a tax shelter, right? And I'm fresh out of college, the whole bit. I didn't, perhaps book smart, but not street smart. And kind of dug into that book, became a landlord in 2003. Ultimately, decided to get my real estate license in 2006 with the idea that it'd become that it would make me a better investor, right? Right at the top of the market, right? So that kind of imploded to some degree. But I ultimately hung my real estate license with a Keller Williams brokerage here locally from 2007 to 2011. And then ultimately, because, 2010, we targeted so many folks that were underwater on their mortgage and didn't necessarily have to short sale or foreclose on their home, but ultimately rented those houses for them. We started our property management system. That evolved into me opening the brokerage in 2011, in October of 2011. And, here we are about 6.5 years later. And, we've done a lot of single family home property management. We've kind of tested the waters just slightly with HOA management, and I'm not so much interested in that. But at the end of the day, I kind of consider myself a real estate investor, really a buy and hold investor, who happens to use his property management systems to help others as well as our own portfolio.
So for us to understand kind of the scope of the PM size company, tell us kind of more of the details there. How many homes you manage, staff, et cetera?
Yeah, you betcha. So, you know, as of last year, we managed right around 200 properties for other folks. And at this time last year, I had an inventory of roughly 22 properties that I managed, you know, that I owned, that we managed as well. So I guess you could say we were at 222, staff of five people. You know, I experimented with the VA route, right? And I actually struggled with it. So I certainly would be interested in folks that might be able to assist me in that run. But at the end of the day, I mean, really it was, what, two full-time property management staffers and then three part-timers. And, you know, what I ended up doing is I sold that portfolio. I actually assigned it to a larger property management firm back in January, just because I wanted to take advantage of our current real estate market and really use those funds to buy more buildings myself and use our property management systems to really supplement that. So that's been kind of the strategy going into 2018 with the idea that really what I want to do is work and live off my own real estate portfolio full time and just use the property management systems we've used for third party individuals to really supplement that and grow from there.
A few things out of that I want to bring up is the size of your company is very similar to what we've seen around the national market. That 200 to 400 single family home type management system is very, very common. And one thing I want to highlight out of that first intro is you talk about investing in properties that you own. And this is something that sometimes a lot of the property management company owner operators, they get to forget is don't forget to start investing for properties for yourself because you have a business. The business can support the acquisition of the asset. And that's a very key point. And that's, I think why that's why you built the PM business is because your mindset was, I'm going to go in as an investor first. I need to have somebody manage the properties. I might as well build up a side business that's going to do that. And this is where you've kind of gotten to this point. And it's an ideal business. I mean, this is the business that a lot of property management company owners want to build, especially where they manage an inventory of homes they own. So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, let's go deep into that side of the homes you own. That's a great topic.
Well, and you know what? Let me start off with a story. So back in 2007, right, I went to this, boy, it was a 2 or 3 day camp, right, on seller financing with a guy by the name of Mike Watson, right? And his big mantra was find the highest and best use for real estate based on what it's zoned at and all that good stuff. But my point being that while at this conference, the one thing he pointed out to us, and he'd reiterate it every day, was that property management is the most lucrative business in the world, right? And everyone's sitting at this conference just like, why? Like, why? No, you know, you tell your buddy on the street, I'm a property manager, they're usually like, oh, hell no. Like, I don't want any piece of that. And what I have pulled from that over the years is that the reason it's the most lucrative business in the world is because it's the foundation of building long-term wealth in real estate. So, for instance, you know, back in 2003, when I bought my first two-bedroom, one-bath condo here locally in the Chicagoland area. You know, ultimately what I did is I used some systems that I just took from a book or two, right? Or I went to some different real estate investment clubs and got some ideas. But then when you have to do your first eviction, right, and things start to hit the fan, you got to figure things out quick. And once you have those few bad experiences, right, with a tenant that make you realize like, well, now what am I going to do? Or I wasn't ready for this. Not only do you learn quick, but you start to develop systems almost, you know, without knowing so. And you can then utilize those systems for, you know, in this case, what I did for third party property owners and manage properties third party. And what I pulled from that, you know, really over the years is not only an improvement of systems, but at the same time, you know, just realizing that it's those systems that are helping me build wealth long term, so long as I focus on my real estate portfolio exclusively and not necessarily the real estate portfolio of other people, right? So, you know, in my eyes, you know, being a property manager for other people, you know, it's a great job per se, you know, so long as you screen your tenants and your landlords and you know what you're getting into. But in the long run, you've got to take those systems and you've got to incorporate them into building your own real estate investment portfolio. And what I mean by that really is a buy and hold portfolio, because in the long run, you know, that's how wealth is created in this country, at least in my eyes, is you just rent and hold, rent and hold, and you know, find a means to improve the property and the value in the long run, and you'll be all right.
As a marketing point of difference, are you able to tell the owners that you're drinking your own Kool-Aid? You're telling them that, hey, not only am I offering you these services, but my homes that I own and run, they're all inside of this management system that I've built. So we're all doing the same thing. I mean, we do that here. So the management properties, or excuse me, the homes that we have, that we own, there's only a handful. We're not, you know, big time investors. We're getting there. We want to be there. We're ready for the next downturn. That's a whole other conversation.
Yep. Yep.
The homes that we own now are in our management system. Are you able to tell the owners that yourself?
Yes. I mean, we have done that. I have done that where I'll say, all right, well, listen, you know, this mom and pop shop down the street, you know, they offer these property management services, but you know, do they actually own investment property themselves? Have they been a landlord on their own property for only, you know, over 15 years? And, you know, it's kind of up to the, that particular third party client in regards to how they take that. I do think it carries some weight. I tend to think it should carry more weight, but you know, it all comes down to the individual, I suppose.
I like it. At least you can say we're a doctor practicing medicine on ourselves. You can always say that.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, so I do want to talk a little bit more on the investing side. So let's talk about the acquisition of your investments. Anything you want to dive into there? Because every home has a story, right? How did you find this home? And how did you buy it? And what were the terms? And what were this? And did you do anything creative? Was it creatively financed? I mean, give us a couple good things on how you acquired those units that you own.
Yeah, you betcha. I mean, you know, for so many years, the properties that I had bought were pretty, you know, it was a good deal. It was on the MLS, right? Or it was a good deal. It was a foreclosure. But as our local sale market is really taking off, right? Just like so many other areas of the country, you know, it does take either an eye for a good deal to find that good deal, or to your point, you know, wait until the market hits a little bubble there and try to pick some stuff up when we've got a little downturn. Having said all that, what we have done over the past year, in fact, we started this up last August, is we started up a postcard campaign, right? And here we go. I got one of the postcards right in front of me here. Yeah, that basically says, we want to buy your multifamily building, right? On the back, it gives you some details in regards to who we are and what we're interested in doing. But this little campaign has done, it's done all right. You know, it's not a slam dunk, but we did acquire a 16-unit building back in March due to that postcard. You know, I ended up getting a call from a landlord, and it was, you know, if you don't mind, I'll go into that situation in a little more detail because it's kind of fun. So got a call from a landlord that owned the 16-unit building in October, right? And ultimately what he wanted to do was he wanted to purchase some retail space in the city of Chicago and sell this building. In turn, what he was doing is doing a 1031 exchange. Now, knowing that information as the buyer was actually pretty powerful because, you know, if you know anything about 1031 exchange, is you have to meet certain timelines in order to conduct that 1031 exchange. So I knew that time was not on his side. And because time was not on his side, I would give him terms, right? But in turn, he would have to give me price. So, you know, we use that to our advantage because at the end of the day, you're going to get price or terms. You're not going to get both. So, you know, ultimately we bought the property at roughly a 10.67% capitalization rate. Rents in that particular building are lower than they are in our market. So we're working on getting those rents up, working on some capital expenditures into the property. And then, you know, the game plan is really 12 months from now, go back to our bank and say, all right, you know, here's where we were, here's where we are. Based on these numbers, you know, can we pull out a line of cash out refi, and now we'll just go do it again with another building. So that particular building was a lot of fun because of the 1031 exchange in the way. You know, another ad that wasn't tied to this postcard campaign, but we had and this is going to be beneficial for all the listeners, frankly. We had a client last summer, a group of five radiologists that ultimately, you know, Sean, can you manage our buildings? And at that time, they had 45 units. I could tell after speaking with them on an afternoon that they weren't for the long frustrated by the fact that their property management company wasn't treating them well. And at the end of the day, they didn't go with our services. I kept in touch with those guys. And what has come from that is we actually have under contract with them effective, we put this under contract in April, a 6-unit building. ultimately, it's an off-market deal just by keeping in touch with the clients, right? So, you know, the point of value there is that, you know, each of us has this list of clients that either they went with our services or they didn't, but we've got them in our database. And, you know, our goal this year is to go through that list, at least over the past, you know, the contacts from over the last 24 months, and reach out to them and say, hey, listen, you know, we've got the capital, we've got the means to put together these deals. Do you want to sell your building? Do you want to sell your property? Do you want to think outside of just having a third party property manager manage your property and perhaps come in as a partner or, you know, simply sell? And, you know, it's those types of opportunities that we're looking for nowadays, because finding something on the MLS is, you know, by that point, it's already too late this day and age, right?
If it hits the MLS, it's probably too late. For the management company owners out there, I mean, let's not forget the easiest thing that you can find is the listings inside your inventory. The homes that you manage right now, when that seller, for some reason, just says, I want to sell, well, the first thing you as the business owner should be doing is like, well, maybe I want to buy it. And if you're going to list it at 200 retail, well, I can buy it from you for 185. We'll throw out the commissions. We'll throw out any maintenance. There's no downtime off the market. I know exactly what I'm getting into. I can have you closed in 3 to 4 weeks. You know, even with financing, you can do it in 5 or 6 weeks. So those things, you should be looking at your inventory first when you start getting ready to acquire assets. And the other thing there is, don't hesitate. I mean, don't, oh, we'll do it next year when we're in a better position. We'll do it the year after that, once we have a little bit of savings. And we're guilty of that too. We're not, you know, we're not sitting on a block of 500 homes. Let's say that's always the limiting factor internally, is that we're always pushing it towards the next year. Oh, we're going to get better next year. Then we'll have a little bit more down payment and we can start buying more homes. And I wish we could buy more homes. I mean, obviously there's ways to do that. We also do look at third options, and we have a, you know, program set up, and, you know, you and I can talk about it. It's nothing original, let's say, but it's basically a third option where we can do a wrap agreement. So we can take a home that an owner owns and we manage it, for example, we can wrap that loan into a new loan and buy them out. And of course, we make payments directly to them. Some would call that a technique of master leasing. But essentially, you know, the deed is transferred to our name. So we own that property and then we manage it and we rent it out, and just like going at it before. And that costs us, you know, a couple grand out of pocket. There's no down payment. We're just taking over the payments, let's say. But the owner gets what they want because we're bailing them out. We're getting them out of that property. And then, you know, you might tie in a balloon payment there. Like, that's what we've been doing recently, is you do a wrap, and then you're going to do like a 4-year or 5-year balloon payment to where you're going to refinance that home within 4 to 5 years, refinance out of that wrap, and then start over from the beginning. You know, the Burr technique is also a good one. You know, the folks that listen to Bigger Pockets and follow that stuff, you buy, you rehab, you renovate, you rent, and you refinance and you repeat. You know, the Burr technique, just getting to that point of buying it and all that other stuff. So point of all that babble is, look into your inventory first and don't look past the homes that you're managing. And here's the thing, that's a fine line. You don't necessarily want to go advertise to those owners that you manage. Say, hey, we'll buy your home. That looks like a little bit of a conflict of interest. So you got to be real careful. I wouldn't advertise that necessarily, but keep your radar up. So when an owner says, hey, I'm looking to sell, I'm going to sell probably 6 months from now when the tenant vacates, that's where you got to take action and say, all right, look, before you go on the open market and list with some realtor that you have a relationship with from before, let's talk about us buying that home from you before you get to that point of selling. Because then there's no commissions, there's no holding costs, there's no vacancy. I mean, all those good things could come into that. So in acquiring the asset, you got to pay attention first. You got to be ready to take action and not think inside the box, think, how do we make this a win-win for both of us, and potentially come in with some different terms?
Well, do you mind if I pull up 2 points I was thinking there while you were speaking? The first of which is, you know, to your point of, you know, don't actively market to your, you know, landlords, your third-party clients, and say, hey, we're going to buy your home as well, but keep your radar up. I love that point. Having said all that, one of the advantages in doing that are, you know, you've been the manager of that property for who knows how long. Now you know what's wrong with the property already, And not to say you're going to exploit that through the course of the transaction, but it's going to play to your benefit, right? So that's point number one. Point number two, and you know, I came across this back in 2013 when I was finally 2 years in business with my S Corp, right? And I should point out I have an S Corp for my property management business. But what I did is I went to the local banks and I said, all right, I've got this business. It's now 2 years seasoned, right? Because less than 2 years, you have to get SBA financing, and sometimes the terms on that aren't very good. But ultimately, I went to our local JP Morgan Chase Bank. I went to our local, you know, US Bank, and I said, all right, can you give me a business line of credit that would basically be reflective of, you know, what our tax return numbers have been the last couple of years? And then every year after tax time, I'll take the tax return and go back to the bank and see if any of those terms can change. So, you know, over the course of time, you know, we've been fortunate enough to get like a $100,000, you know, line of credit. You know, right now we currently have it with US Bank. They're actually pretty friendly with real estate related service businesses. So they might be a good place to start. But now you can use that particular line to, you know, not only leverage, you know, maybe your property management systems, but at the end of the day, you know, perhaps your real estate investment portfolio, or at least that's what we've done. So that's been a very helpful tool. And, you know, and okay, using that PERM method would be.
Let's talk into that line of credit. So I need your help here. I need your advice or your expertise. So you've done the line of credit with that bank. And does that give you kind of like the check to write? So if you find the smoking deal and you need 20% and you need 20 grand right now or 40 grand or whatever, you can write it off that line of credit. At what point do you look to refinance and pull that money out?
Well, I'll tell you what, the perfect scenario is this, right? So what I had used it for, and we're going back to 2014, right, is, you know, in particular markets here locally at that time, I could buy a 2-bedroom condo out of that line of credit in cash for $45,000, right? So buy it in cash, $45,000, you close on it. And you got to do a little bit of searching, but this day and age, the banks have gotten pretty loose. And now you take that cash purchase and you got to get that money back in your pocket, right? So typically you can go to any local bank and say, all right, based on what I bought this for, you know, what kind of cash out refi can you give me? Now I have a bank here locally that will do a 70% loan to value cash out refi based on the appraised value. Now, a lot of banks will like to do a 50 or 70% loan to value refi within 6 months of purchase. They'll like to do a 50 to 70% off the purchase price itself. Well, that's not going to do you a whole lot of good because, you know, 50% on a $45,000 purchase, you're like, nah, but 70% on now an appraised value, $80,000. And all of a sudden you're virtually getting paid to buy this particular building. So, or this condo in this case. So, you know, looking for those types of opportunities with line of credit are huge. Other than that, you know, using it as a down payment, you know, so long as you can float the expense of that line of credit, because your interest rate is, you know, this day and age is probably going to be anywhere from 7 to 10%, depending on the bank. You know, that could make sense. But in the long run, you know, to your point, Brad, you know, looking for properties that fall within that BRRRR category, right? The buy, rehab, refinance, repeat model is really what you want to do. And if you could do that and incorporate your property management systems, you know, in the long run, you're going to build wealth, you know, really in four different ways. The first is going to be the appreciation of the property. The second is going to be the principal pay down of that mortgage. The third is going to be, you know, the cash flow from the rents you're going to receive. And then the fourth is going to be the tax benefits, right? And if you look at your property management business, really in my eyes, you know, maybe there's some tax benefits, but really you're just getting cash flow off those management fees. So in my eyes, by having that investment portfolio, you're building wealth in more ways with just one product. And in the same time, you know, again, incorporating that property management system to do so. So, you know, this is something every property manager should be doing. It's, to me, a no-brainer.
Hey everyone, this is Allison DeSaro with Seacoast Commerce Bank. You may have heard about us, or you may have even heard my podcast episode with Brad Larson, where we discuss the benefits of banking with property management bank like Seacoast Commerce Bank. We specialize in providing the ideal banking partnership for not only your business, but specifically your trust accounts. In addition, we offer a significant analysis program, which allows us to not only offset your bank fees, but then also offset property management related invoices. You can visit us at our website, or you can call me directly at 619-988-6708.
This is Brad Larson, and I endorse this message.
So in switching gears, let's talk about the Chicago market in itself, because I brought this up in the pre-show and you had some great points, and I said, oh, hang on, let's save this. So in the Chicago market, I bring it up because it's turning it more into like a California market or a New York market. And this is just my perception. You're going to probably beat me up and say this is completely false, but I'm just bringing it up what other people's perception is, to where I just saw something the other day where they passed another 1% tax hike on the state of Illinois. And so Chicago is going to be affected by that. So I just want to kind of have you give us a synopsis of what's going on in the Chicago market and how that might affect the rest of us here in the balance of the U.S.
Yeah. So, you know, the city of Chicago proper, right? It is a tenant friendly city. And, you know, for that reason, I tend to hold my holdings, you know, outside of the city of Chicago itself. And when you think of a metropolitan area, be it the suburban Chicagoland area, it's strong. I love it. Like it's great. I mean, you know, like we were talking about in the pre-show, you know, I've come across articles recently that have said the Chicagoland market is one of the most undervalued when it comes to rental cash flowing real estate. And I think part of that, you know, deals with really two stigmas that have popped up over the last 5-10 years. And, you know, you brought one up, and that's, you know, property taxes and the state needing to float its boat when it comes to its budget. And the second of which is crime, right? I tend to feel that, you know, a lot has been said about the city of Chicago and crime and all that other good stuff. And those types of stigmas have really kept folks from saying, hey, I invest in the Chicagoland market. But when you look at Illinois as a state, just in terms of the location of the U.S. and the fact that, you know, what is it? We've got like the most railroad tracks running through it out of any other state. I mean, the state in itself, just in terms of a location and just in terms of like, just from a location standpoint, is very strong. So, you know, it's one of those states where I tend to feel when the rebound comes for this state, it's going to come with a vengeance. Hence why I still invest in the Chicagoland area. And I just kind of like to invest in areas that I know and that I'm familiar with. But at the same time, too, I think if you were to look at it just from like a rental cash flowing metropolitan area compared to other metropolitan areas that are really getting overvalued at this point, it's one that, you know, I think folks should look into. At least don't discount before you, you know, you go off and you invest in Texas like everybody else, right, Brad?
Yeah, one of the things that is interesting about the way money flows throughout the country is sometimes you would think that it's a bad place to own a property would be that area. However, there's always going to be a need. Always a need, and it creates another opportunity for property managers. So if it's really stringent, like California's getting, you're going to get people just throwing up their hands and say, I can't do this, I need a manager, where are the managers? And they start looking to hire. This is why in Australia, for example, I've talked about this before, they have a 70% penetration rate into the rental market. You know, 7 out of 10 people that own a rental property in Australia use a professional property manager, versus here in the States, you're looking at 3 out of 10. That use a professional property manager. And it's the culture is even might even be closer to like 80% over there in Australia. And it's almost to the point where with the Australians I've talked to, they could be at a cocktail party and the one person who doesn't use property management to manage their property would be looked at like a leper. Like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you have a, you know, are you cheap? Are you weird? And what's wrong with you? Versus here, it's kind of like, oh, you use a property manager. Okay, cool. Now we just decided to do it ourselves because we know everything and we're better than you. And so that's kind of the attitude you get from some owners. And it's not all the case, but where I'm going with this is if the renter state becomes more of an issue, more of a thing, more of a real tangible deal to where the state comes in and just makes it so tenant friendly that landlords cannot do it themselves. I mean, they just physically don't have the time. And how's that going to work as well? If you have all these municipalities outside of the main metro, and they all have their little tax brackets, and they all have their little city things that's going on, that makes it very difficult to manage from a distance. Then you have all these deals with tenants nowadays in certain states to where you can't ask this, you have to ask this, you have to let them do this, you can't evict. Then you have rent control. Man, that's a whole nother, you know, issue there coming in. So is the area that you're in now, is any of that going to be pertinent, or is just kind of it's going to happen across the U.S. gradually? Where do you think about that?
Well, rent control, in my eyes, is not something that exists in our marketplace, not at all. But one thing that does exist, which, you know, I've seen the pros and the cons on either side, is a lot of the local municipalities, it really is, let me take a step back. So when it comes to like, you know, where the state falls in regards to tenant or landlord friendly, it's not so much a state thing, it's more of a local municipality thing, right? So Chicago is its own entity, and yes, it's more of a tenant friendly area, in my opinion. But when it comes to the local municipalities, some municipalities have enacted basically a rental regulation program where, for instance, you know, once a year, the city wants to get in there and inspect that particular rental unit. Make sure you got your smoke detectors, your carbon monoxide detectors, you know, GFCI outlets are working, all that good stuff. However, they also want to see that the landlord's doing their due diligence when it comes to an application process, meaning that they're looking for that landlord to do felony nationwide criminal background checks on folks. And there's also a landlord-tenant lease addendum so that the police can get involved if for some reason there's some criminal activity on the property. So that's an example of, you know, how our local municipal government, you know, of Aurora does this. Now, a lot of these local communities are starting to develop their own type of rental regulation program, assuming that they're home rule and all that other good stuff. And the frustrating part as a property manager is that at the end of the day, every municipality is a little bit different. And, you know, you can maybe memorize 5, maybe 10 municipalities and what they're looking for and how they're going to do their inspections either annually or every other year or whatever. But, you know, when you start to get hit with more than that, it gets a little confusing. Now, to your point, you can, that's also advantageous for the property manager, because now you could say, all right, Mr. and Mrs. You know, homeowner, you're moving out of state. Well, you know, the village of Aurora in this case requires you to have an agent in place when you move outside of a 30-mile radius, which ultimately really requires that you use a property manager, you know, unless you're counting on your next door neighbor to be there for you for the next 10 years. So, you know, there are different ways where you could play that to your advantage. But really what I would love to see is see our state step in and ultimately say, all right, here's the standard that every municipal government has to meet in order for these inspections to take place. Because at the end of the day, when every municipality is doing their own little thing, it becomes kind of confusing and cumbersome and frustrating. So, you know, that's something I hope we'll improve upon. But, you know, I suppose you can think through it and find different ways in which you know, can probably generate some property management business off of that.
Same thing could hold true with actual property managers. If the state or the locals could come in and put more stringent restrictions on some of them and how they operate and how they handle the monies, that could change the game a little bit as well. So another rabbit hole we could go down is talking about short-term rental management. How has that been affecting up there in the Chicagoland market? Meaning, is there anybody that can make money off of managing Airbnb and VRBO? Question mark.
You know what? I have not seen a property management company that has taken that marketplace. We certainly haven't. So yeah, you know, to answer your question, there probably is some opportunity there, especially when you're talking about near airports, right? Where you've got flight attendants and pilots and, you know, folks like that, that, you know, are only in town for a few days, or air traffic control centers. So yeah, that's a great point, Brad. It could be advantageous. It's something I really haven't tapped into.
Yeah, we've looked into it pretty deep, and they're charging anywhere from 25% to 35% to manage short-term rentals. But you can imagine the turnover and the amount of effort is just obviously going to be 4 or 5 times what you got to put out for a regular rental property, because you put it in a single-family home, 12-month lease agreement, you know, you get it rented, and it's almost set and forget. Yeah, you maintain it, you collect rent, all that stuff, but as far as major actions, it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen for another 10, 11 months where you do an inspection and another lease. But with them, I mean, the rollover is every week, every couple of days. You got to get a mage in there, Johnny on the spot. I mean, there's a lot of touching. So I just don't know if single family home property management companies that are geared for that want to even go down that tangent. The ones that I've seen out there have really focused on that. I mean, full hardcore, that's all they do is short-term rentals. And I just don't know if there's much call for that in most markets. If you're in a vacation market, that's a great way to go. I mean, it's clearly good. You can sell them and rent it out for them.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point with that turnover, I mean, I would think, yeah, unless you're getting 20-25% as a fee, your margins are going to be pretty thin. So it's got to be, you really got to make sure you got a solid system in place before you jump into that.
Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah. So I host a podcast called Landlording for Life. And really, our target market is folks that are really just getting involved in the game of landlording, right? So either you're thinking about getting into investment rental real estate, or maybe you own a handful of properties and you're looking to scale up. So really what we do is we try to host it weekly, where at the end of the day, we're providing value to the listener in the form of, you know, either different ways you can, you know, finance properties, maintain properties. You know, we've had accountants on there talking about, you know, tax advantages or changes, things of that nature. So, yeah, it's one of those where it's, you know, I'm sure like you've experienced, Brad, you learn so much as the host just by talking to people that it becomes a really, it becomes a fun thing and really a learning experience for the host. And you hope for the listeners as well.
So tell us about how we can find out more about that podcast.
Yeah. So you can go to, you know, landlordingforlife.com. So it's landlording and then forlife.com. You know, if any of the listeners on this podcast, because there's so many great property managers out there, if you want to be on our podcast, you can register right on the site, because I'm always looking to talk to new folks that have a new way to, you know, benefit landlords, or, you know, perhaps provide a property management system to a landlord that they haven't seen before. So, yeah, go to landlordingforlife.com. You'll see all the episodes on there, all the great things we're doing.
That'd be a good way to pitch your local market.
True, true. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those where I've really tried to target our podcast with, you know, local real estate investment groups and post on their Facebook pages and all that other good stuff. And it's been beneficial. But really, at the end of the day, it's one of those things where, you know, being a landlord is a nationwide or worldwide thing. It's just, you know, how it changes in each market is really the variance and the ordinances and all that other good stuff. But yeah, it's one of those things where I hope to take the podcast really and embed it in our local market, with the idea that we become really the experts when it comes to assisting landlords, either with property management or just helping them get off the ground and building their own real estate portfolio.
That's the genius content. That's what I think everybody or could be looking at, is instead of the YouTube videos, instead of the talking head Facebook stuff, the stupid cat videos you see out there. Yeah. Podcasting is, you know, it's a presentation I did at the Narpin Broker Owner, was to talk about podcasting. What we're doing here at the show is a national level thing for kind of the industry. But I also think podcasting down to the local level is extremely smart, because it gives you an opportunity to meet those local experts and then become the person that's putting out the content that Google and all the search engines really like, that it's custom, it's now, it's current, and it's something that people can use. So yeah. Sean, sure. I wanted to thank you for coming on the show. This has been an excellent episode. Learned a lot. Love what you got going on. Real quick, tell us again how to find that podcast.
Yeah, so go to landlordingforlife.com. You'll see there, you can either register at the top of the page, or you know, even if you don't want to be on the podcast and you just want to chat, just click on that link and I'll reach out to you and we'll see where you're at and see what we could do to help out, or, you know, perhaps you could help us out in the long run. But all our episodes are on there. It's actually part of our brokerage website, so you can see all the great stuff we're doing. And yeah, just build a relationship from there. So that'd be great.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brad.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.